Hi, this is David Spears, the ABC's national political lead and the host of Insiders, and this is some analysis I've written on the major NDIS changes announced by Mark Butler. As far as tough budget decisions go, we haven't seen anything on this scale since Joe Hockey's ill-fated 2014 effort. After yet another forecast cost blowout, the changes laid out by Mark Butler to salvage the NDIS would save a whopping $35 billion over 4 years. Butler, affectionately dubbed the Smiling Assassin by one of his cabinet colleagues, has taken a far more unsparing approach than expected to deliver what he called a complete reset of the scheme. Nor is the minister squeamish about apportioning blame for what's caused the problem. He's not reaching for the usual crutch of blaming the other side. He's dropped the pretense this is simply about shonks and fraudsters. Butler is conceding the harder truth at the heart of the NDIS. Its design is driving the blowout. The fundamental barrier we are facing is the design of the scheme itself, he said. This admission of design failures and structural flaws was an acceptance of Labor's own mistakes when the NDIS was brought to life 13 years ago. Labor is also acknowledging it underestimated these flaws before coming back to office in 2022. 4 years ago, at his pre-election campaign launch, Anthony Albanese even hailed the benefits of the fast-growing NDIS as a driver of new jobs in the care sector. Now, Labor accepts the rapid expansion of the scheme has not only placed enormous pressure on the budget, it has also sucked workers out of aged care and other sectors. But what's been a slow pivot from Labor on the NDIS since returning to office in 2022 became an abrupt adjustment yesterday. No longer is the original design of the scheme being defended, it's being blamed. Put bluntly, Labor now accepts the scheme drifted from need to diagnosis and that an under-regulated provider market was paid handsomely to pile on services. The proposed solution involves a series of new guardrails for participants and providers. While polls suggest voters want this scheme reined in, this won't necessarily be an easy political task. The first steps, to be imposed from October, involve reining in the cost of individual plans. Unscheduled plan reviews, which end up in average costing 20% more each time, will be restricted. The use of community participation workers, which has grown in cost to $12 billion a year, will be wound back. The much harder part, as Labor backbenchers acknowledge, will be the changes to eligibility set to kick in from January 2028. The details will be worked through over coming months, but the government already knows what it wants to achieve. Our initial modelling will see the number of people on the scheme reduced to around 600,000 by the end of the decade, instead of growing to well over 900,000, Butler says. New entrants will find it harder to access the scheme. Some existing participants, most likely those with an autism diagnosis, will be kicked off. Butler's target is to limit the cost of the NDIS from a current annual growth rate of 10% to an average of just 2% over the coming 4 years. That's below inflation and hugely ambitious, given the history of failing to meet much easier targets. If all this can be achieved, the $35 billion in spending avoided would represent a serious budget saving. Easily the single toughest measure in the life of this government. It would give Labor an answer to the constant criticism it's unwilling to tackle spending growth and debt. To achieve this ambition, however, will require more than simply announcing a hard decision. It will require passing legislation through Parliament by June 30, then working with the disability sector on new eligibility rules, all while convincing sceptical, and in the case of Queensland openly hostile, state and territory governments to pick up the bill for a host of new support services outside the NDIS. The Greens, searching for relevancy this term, have found something to fight for. Spokesman Jordan Steele John has declared the Greens will oppose these cuts, labelling them mean and disgusting. That means Labor will need the support of the Coalition, which offered a mixed response yesterday. Shadow NDIS Minister Melissa McIntosh immediately went on the attack, suggesting Labor had dropped a bomb on the disability community, announcing savage cuts, suggesting targeting fraud was simply all that's required. Leader Angus Taylor, by contrast, sounded far more cooperative. The eligibility has got to be appropriate, he said in response to the minister's announcement. The pricing has to be right. We've got to get this to work. Notwithstanding McIntosh's furious response, it's difficult to see a world in which the coalition does not support these changes if it wants to maintain fiscal credibility. It's unlikely the government's greatest hurdle will be passing these changes through Parliament. The difficulty will be maintaining support from within the disability sector. Some recognise the need for reform. Others are deeply concerned, doubtful, promised state-based support services outside the NDIS will materialise. These changes have a long way to play out before they become a reality, and plenty could go wrong. But they have at least shown this second-term government, sitting on a big parliamentary majority and facing a global economic shock, is prepared to take on difficult reform. Next month's budget will show whether this was the exception or the template. Thanks for listening. We'll have more on this on Sunday. Hope you can join us for Insiders, 9 a.m. on ABC TV.